Knock, knock, who's there? That's the title of this lecture this afternoon. There's always going to be somebody knocking on the door of your mind, and you had better thee well know who it is before you start opening up. I feel this wasn't really my idea for today. I had something else, but God insists this is it, and I don't argue with him. He said, do not knock, who's there? Okay. That's what we need for this moment, and guess what? That's what we're going to get. Okay? There is nothing new under the sun. That has been always happens over again, so you're without excuse for keeping up with what's going on, because God makes certain that you've got a pattern laid out before you from the past, where you can always keep up with that is going to be yet future. And even that is yet future, there's nothing new under the sun. That means you don't understand that under the sun means we in flesh bodies that walk under the sun. Okay? So I want you to open your Bibles to the 19th chapter of Genesis. I want you to think about conditions today, how things are, and we're going to go to a door opening and closing that would hopefully put us on guard. Incidentally, what does it mean to knock? It means to strike something. It is cruel in the Greek, and it means no more or no less. Our Heavenly Father has said in one place, knock, he who knocks, it shall be opened to him. When you knock, that takes action on whose part? Yours. And asking him to open your mind to the truth of his word, then you're way ahead of the game. Right? He promises that I'll give it to you. It is yours. And knowledge, wisdom, opening your mind. Hey, it's written. It's here for us to absorb. The examples have been set forth. And again, nothing new under the sun. Same old, same old. Therefore, we shouldn't have that much difficulty in learning what it is that our Father has in store for us. Let's look around the world at this time. I'm talking about the world now, not the Christian world, but the world. And I'm telling you, it reminds me of a place called Sodom. Lot went there, and Lot did pretty well there. He was accepted by the people there, and his family seemed to be happy there. And he had a house there. One day two angels came along, and they were going to just camp outside on the street. And Lot says, oh, no, you can't do that. You better come into my house so I can protect you. Or words to that effect, as though two angels needed protection. Okay. But did he know they were angels? Well, I don't know. Probably not at the time. But he knew he could not leave those two young men, because angels are always, that is the appearance, a young person. He brought them in. I want you to pick it up in this 19th chapter, and this, bearing in mind the subject is, who are you going to let through the door? Okay? And I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. Sometimes in some of the examples I'm going to use, it's going to sound confusing to the point, well, how do I really know? And I want to guarantee you, before we get started, when we finish, you are going to know, okay? You're going to know who's at that door, and you're going to know how to handle it. You're going to know how to prepare yourself, whereby you know whether to open that door or what, the door of your mind. If you're not real careful, this world has a bunch of nonsense in it. I mean, I should say a lot of nonsense. A lot of traditions of men that make void the Word of God. You can't open your mind to that stuff. Okay? You just can't. Doesn't bother if you hear it, but you can't open your mind to put it to bed. You know, we have computers, but the brain is a fantastic instrument that God designed in your body. Do you know how much it holds? Well, I guess it's according to who you are. But no, seriously, you can fill it and 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 fill it. Exercise it and exercise it. It just gets bigger and bigger all the time. The memory of it is just fascinating. If you exercise it, who put it that way? God did. Your mind is your heart in most translations. And when you open your mind to Him, He's got something for you. It's His promise. Knock and you will receive. Knock and I will open. I will open your mind. You will be able to remember things. My word. You will be able to do my work. You will be able to perform many things that you might not have thought you could. The mind is a fantastic part of our body as far as it never, unless there are health problems, it never crashes. You don't have to buy a new disc, okay? You just, like most things about your body, as long as you use it, it'll be fine. But if you don't use it, you'll lose it, okay? So, now back to the subject. Lot is protecting these two men. Verse 4. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young. I mean, the kids were involved in this. All the people from every quarter. I mean, not just part of it. This was the world. And as I say, there's nothing new under the sun. You don't have to go very far, but look around you, okay? And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. They didn't say bring the girls out. He had two daughters. They want men. We're at Sodom. You want to be careful who you open your door to, friend. Spiritual perversion is far more of an abomination to God than physical perversion. You want me to say that again? Spiritual perversion is far more serious to Almighty God than physical perversion. He doesn't like either, but He doesn't like His word played with, okay? 6. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him. He slammed that baby shut and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. We don't do this. Verse 8. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you and do ye to them as is good to your eyes, only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. Now you're supposed to use your own imagination and common sense. I can't understand a man saying that about his daughters. I know what I would have said. Instead of saying I have two daughters, I would say I have a big shotgun with two barrels. And if this street isn't cleared, this is called a street sweeper. You know? Now, of course, that's very earthly, isn't it, to say that? But I cannot, for the life of me, understand Lot offering his... I just never will. Maybe I'm stubborn or whatever, but I just can't buy that, okay? But he did. That's what he said. It's written in God's Word. He did, and of course, the law at this time was if somebody's under your roof at the price of your own life, you protect them, okay? So there's a little more to it than we would read. Verse 9. And they said, stand back And they said again, this one fella came in to sojourn. Oh, Lot came here a stranger not long ago. That's who they're talking about. And he will needs be a judge. He's trying to judge us. Now, will we deal worse with thee than with them? When we get through with them, we're going to do worse to you, Lot. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. Knock, knock, who's there? I don't know. Do you know who comes to your door? Do you really know? Do you know in the spiritual world who you allow into your door? There's a lot of false teachings in this world. Do not let traditions of men slide under, around, or over your door, the door of your mind. You keep it pure in the Word of God. Verse 10. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. God takes over. That's one of the points I came here. God always takes care of you if you truly love Him and trust Him. 11, and they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. You must always remember, when you love the Father, and when you utilize common sense, your house is going to be fine. You're going to have everything under control. You have nothing to fear. The only thing you have to fear is fear itself from ignorance of God's Word. Because when you're armed with the sword of the Lord, you have a guarantee that even Satan will not do business with you. He knows better. He's afraid of you. Let him know it. Don't be afraid to practice it. And I hope you all understand, I'm speaking spiritually. You're spiritual warriors. You don't have to, as Christ has given us power over all our enemies, utilizing common sense, you can be very assured that God took care of Lot and Lot's daughters here. There's just no other answer for it. Be careful who you let in your door. You've got a lot of religions. You've got a lot of nonsense. You've got a lot of people trying to make up traditions. If it isn't written, it isn't so. You've got a lot of dreamers. Now, let's just handle that a moment. Well, brother, dear God, don't you know that it says in Job and in the book of Acts that your daughters and your sons will prophesy and old men will dream dreams? When does that happen? Well, it happens when they're delivered up before the false Messiah. Well, that ain't happened yet. Okay? There ain't no dreams like that yet. Now, that isn't to say that God doesn't speak to people. But beware of those that are dreamers. And it cannot be backed up in God's Word. They're fakes. Pure, out-and-out, sorry, excuses, and fakes. Dreaming doesn't cut it. I agree. When the false Messiah comes, and you are delivered up, you are ordered not to premeditate what you'll say. But until that day comes to pass, don't you let some hoodwinker hoodwink you. You keep your feet on the ground and keep plowing until we get through with what we've got to do. All right? Who's there? Be careful, my friend. The Father wants you to know that we're in a generation where it's very important that you know who's at that door. Okay, let's go to the New Testament. Let's go to Luke chapter 12. New Testament, Luke chapter 12. What are you supposed to do about the knock of Christ? I mean, he says he'll knock every once in a while. And he does. So you have to know when he's at the door. The But you'd better surely know when the Antichrist is at the door, because he's coming. False teachings are going to be, as Christ said, there will be divisions even in your own households. And some that are snowed by him are going to offer you up for conversion. Know who's at your door. Chapter 12, verse 36, and it reads, "And ye yourselves," teachings of Jesus now, "and ye yourselves likened to men that wait for their Lord." Is that what you're doing? Are we waiting for the Lord? I think so. When he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Now that's important. Don't be indecisive. You know the scripture. Open immediately. Well, Lord, let me just wait here an hour or two. Let me go check out the book of Matthew on this. I got to know who's here. It's a little late to do homework when the wedding's already over and he's there knocking on the door. I guess the point I want to make, it doesn't pay to hesitate. You're supposed to know what you're doing, okay? And like I said, I promise you I'm going to create a little bit of perhaps what could be indecision on your part, like maybe making you wonder, well, hey, how do I know for sure? Well, I'm going to show you before we finish, all right? I promise. I want that door opened immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Doing what? Watching. Knock, knock, who's there? You better know what to watch for. You better know how to watch. Verily I say unto you, that he shall grind him, he shall gird himself, and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. Almighty God, through the Son, serving you when you're watching. What a reward. What an honor that you could participate within that, because you're a watchman. When he finds you doing what? Watching. Watching for what? His return. His children. His work. His truth. And, verse 38, "And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants." Hey, you don't know what watch it's going to be. He didn't mark it out and group it. He just said, watch. But, beloved, remember, he gave us all kinds of signs to know the seasons. Not the moment, not the watch, but the season. And we're in that season of watching. And you are a watchman. Do you know what the penalty is for a military person to go to sleep on watch in a combat zone? It's not pretty, my friend. Well, we're in spiritual combat. Don't go to sleep. Verse 39, "And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through." You don't have to put up with Satan's antics of causing trouble in your home. You don't have to have your home broken into by false teachings or false spirits, lies, deception of men, men pleasers, because you have the Word of God. You have a little salt in your system. And when you go into a place and leave, it's just a little saltier than it was when you got there. Oh, Lord, bless us from and save us from a bunch of wimps. You know? I just can't stand wimps. I'm just glad God can when they change. Okay? And you understand I'm talking about spiritual wimps. Okay? And I don't like the other kind all that hot either. Okay? But I'll just be honest with you. 40. "But be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when you think not." Be ready for what? Be ready for his return. Be ready for these things that are written to come to pass before your very eyes, as they are. There's no excuse for not seeing that is written. as it unfolds before your very eyes. Therefore, you see, you know, you watch. Watching for His return, the events through Revelation, Daniel, minor prophets, major prophets, all those things that He said, watch for. It's that simple. Okay? You know, a lot of people think, oh, sweet Jesus, He's coming back. Sweet Jesus is coming back. And do you love Jesus? If you do, you don't have to know anything else. You're saved. The Bible, you won't find that written anywhere in God's Word. Jesus, quite on the other hand, writes to the watchman, skip down to verse 49. I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will I if it be already kindled? I don't know. You got any matches? How's your mind doing? How's the door to your mind? Do you heat things up a little bit every once in a while with truth? He said, I am not coming to bring peace, but a fire. You know, many might say, well, that's contrary. I thought Jesus was the Prince of Peace. He is. But you can't make peace with the devil. A lot of people get in trouble trying it. Well, I just like to compromise. Compromise with what? If you're in the love of Christ and you compromise one iota with traditions of men, you made your life void. It's gone, friend. You just missed the boat. Well, are you being a little judgmental? Well, let me read it to you again. But I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? This has the same play as the word salt I was using earlier in another place. He would say, if a salt loses its savor, meaning its flavor, it's not salty anymore, it's no good. If you're a Christian, and when you go into a discussion, if it is so bland, have you ever tried to salt a salad with salt? You know, salt does lose its flavor. And boy, you can just put it on and put it on. That's for people that don't use real salt, okay? How many of you use real salt? I'm just curious. Whew, I'm impressed, but it doesn't take much to impress me. Anyway. But anyway, salt, I mean, I just hate it. I love salt. You know, real salt won't hurt thee. And I like to put it on there, and boy, when it tastes that, it gets rid of that old bland stuff. But if you ever know in a Christian, probably none of you have. But go in and eat it. Yeah, I just love the Lord. And somebody will say, well, have you read so-and-so? Oh, I just love to read books. Well, have you ever read the Bible? No, not yet, but I will. A bland Christian is a wimp, okay? Very unwise. Jesus said, I come to send the fire. He said, how happy I will be if I find it kindled. What does that mean? Who do you think He expects to do that? Who's there? He expects you to. From the Word, to plant a seed, to make a difference, to have a little fire in your tongue, to be bold and stand forward. That doesn't mean you are to be arrogant. You know, a lot of people take knowledge as arrogance. It's amazing. If you know what you're talking about, some people will accuse you of being arrogant. It's because of their ignorance, and we have to put up with that, and that's fine. Just thank God it's not you going there, okay? Don't look down on them. That's what I'm saying. They can't help it. We were all maybe at that place at one time. I just thank God it was many, many years ago when I was. When I didn't have a pretty good working knowledge of our Father's Word. Yeah? That's what He says. He says, verse 51, suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth. You think that's what I came for? I tell you nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two. You that have families that all believe, you are so blessed. But it is written, it's no great surprise, that many Christians are going to accept the false Messiah as Christ. And in their own hearts, when they go to him and say, my poor brother or sister think you're the Antichrist, it's because they're ignorant. Will you go save them? Will you have mercy? They're really good people. Go save them. They'll turn you up to him, all right? But then that's good. It's written. That's what's supposed to happen. That's when you break out not a little packet of matches, the whole box, okay? The whole box, spiritually speaking. And you get ready to start a fire because Christ is going to use you at that time to get the fire kindled. Beloved, knock, knock. Be careful who's at the door. A lot of false teachings in the world. A lot of people wanting to lead you astray. Stick to the basics. You know, that's one reason I kind of didn't want to teach this today, because it's too much basics. I mean, this is children's stuff. But it's the timing. It is now that is so serious of who you open the door of your mind to. You can pay an awesome price by listening to the wrong person. You can get out of step. And friend, when God closes the door, I'm sorry, that's it. It's closed. Nothing you can do to get it open. Too late, Charlie. Knock, knock, you should have known who invited you in. Peter's been in jail. I mean, he's locked up tighter than you could ever wish to be, and got guards all around him. They arrested him and they threw him so far back in the dungeon that the rest of the apostles just figured he's a goner. And here they took off to the house, and God began to shake that place. And God made the shackles fall off. And God opened gates. And Peter went to where they were. Okay? Well, it's important we know what happened there. Acts chapter 12, verse 12. And when he had considered the thing, he came, Peter, that is to say, I mean, he's considering how he got out of there. God, in other words, God delivered him. Do you understand? God will always deliver you. He came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Praying for what? Knowing what's going on. I mean, they done took our leader and threw him in jail. This is bad, bad, bad news. And they're having a regular old prayer meeting in there, reaching out to God. Now, this would be Mark John's mother. Mark John was a teenager when Peter and the others taught. And this is why his book, Mark, the Gospel of Mark, is so short and moves so fast. He's just a kid. But he saw it all firsthand, okay? Verse 13. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. Isn't that unusual? Women's names are not all that well mentioned in the Bible, are they? But here we got Rhoda. Sure named her. He didn't just say it's a damsel and that's it. He said it's Rhoda. Well, what is Rhoda being translated into English mean? Rose. And that is important. That's why he did it. Okay, it's important. 14. And when she knew Peter's voice, she recognized him. She opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. Oh, Peter's here. Oh, he's at the gate. Oh, it's dangerous out there. He's at the gate. We're bothering. Don't bother us, woman. We're praying. Can't you see we're praying to God? We're doing something very holy here. Peter's at the gate. She's at the gate. At the gate. And old Peter's standing out there knocking. Who's there? Well, somebody wasn't at home. Okay. Too excited to react properly. Don't let that happen to you. Expect miracles as we move closer to that generation and that time, that dispensation of time. Dispensation of time. And don't get so excited that you can't react under pressure. Don't let them see you sweat on your first cruise. Do it. Be a can-do type person. But he's at the gate. And there he stands. I mean, he broke out of jail. You realize he's a criminal, and the poor guy says, hey, somebody let me in his house. You know, it's getting serious, all right? 15. And they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so that he, they, then said they, it is his angel. He's deader than a hammer, and God is his angel at the door. Don't expect more from God. Don't be one of them. Well, it's bad, brother. It's just a doom and gloom. Peter's gone. Now, what an outlook on life. And the poor little thing's already told him, he's at the gate. And here we go, okay? 16. But Peter continued knocking. Got to get somebody's attention here. And when they had opened the door, they saw him. They were astonished. Can you imagine that? The apostles, the followers of God, were astonished that God freed the man. You know, when he promises he will free us, never be astonished at miracles performed by Almighty God. Do you know something? There are miracles that happen before people and they don't even realize it. You know, our little old church happens to be a miracle. Here, I mean, a little people holding church in a roller rink. It's a wonder they didn't call them holy rollers. You know, over here at Rabbit, Arkansas. And it just exploded. And now it's the largest television ministry in the world. Not on the weekend. Every day, hammer, hammer, salt, salt, pepper, pepper, match, match. Keep it going. Miracles happen. And you're a part of one. So don't be astonished. Okay? 17. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, keep it down. I just broke out of a hoose cow down here. Hey, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison, and he said, go show these things unto James and to the brother, and he departed and went into another place. What does all that mean? Why Rose? Why was it Rose that got so excited? Because Father wants you to see that he's leading you to make a study of the Rose of Sharon. Okay? The most beautiful love story ever told of Jesus Christ coming back to this earth and his bride described and pictured the analogy as this beautiful woman, the Rose of Sharon. We pick this up then, right before the great book of Isaiah. It's a little short book. Kind of hard to find if you're not real familiar. Go to Isaiah, and then right before the beginning of Isaiah, you'll have the Song of Solomon. The greatest love story ever told. Knock, knock, who's at the door? Are they telling the truth? You know, some people get hard up to play church. Don't you ever be hard up for students. You teach God's word the way it's written and don't you apologize for it. You understand? Make no apology for God's word if you want to stay in his book. Rose of Sharon. If you need to get her identity, you'll find it in chapter 2. Of this Song of Solomon. I am the Rose of Sharon and the Lily of the Valley. This beautiful woman that is symbolic of Christ's bride, which is you. Chapter 5. Knock, knock, who's at the door? Be very careful. Sharpen up for me. the male, I'm going to tell you which party is speaking because it's a little hard to pick up on if you don't know the manuscripts, okay? The male, which is Christ, begins speaking. Now, you'll have some higher critics that say, well, that's Solomon speaking. Solomon would never speak of himself this way. It's prophecy. This book of love is a book of prophecy. So, the Messiah begins to speak. I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat. And then the young women of Jerusalem, it's important you know what town, say, oh, friends, drink. Yea, drink abundantly, oh, beloved. And then the female, which is the body of Christ, begins to speak in verse 2. I sleep. Now let that soak in. She said, I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night. In other words, I'm out here. My hair is wet from the very dew. Let me ask you a question. This is extremely important. This is Rose, all right. But what did she tell you? I am asleep. All right? But what is it when you're asleep and your mind is awake? You're dreaming. Don't mix dreams up with reality. He's there. He's at the door. I dreamed it. I saw it. Again, you got to be very careful in this generation who you listen to. Even your own heart, if it's a dream. Remember when the true dreams come forth, when the Holy Spirit speaks through us. Again, God speaks to people, but many of our dreams are because we ate too much chili con carne, you know, or something that barks at you in the night, or whatever, you know. And you have five senses. Some people have six. And all of those will play on you, the sense of hearing and taste and so forth, you know. And if you sit down on something too hot, what speaks to you? You know, there's a little message runs from your seat up to your brain that says, for goodness sakes, move it, you know. And that sense says, get moving, okay? Well, it's the same way with what causes your dreams at night is the central nervous system that goes through the backbone, which makes it the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in Satan's case, sends little messages. And that can cause you to dream. But the important thing, this woman is telling us of a dream, not a reality. Okay, you've got to learn to tell the difference. It's you're coming into a phase that listening to nonsense from some dreamer will cause the downfall of many people. She admits it. She says, I'm dreaming, and you're intelligent enough to catch it, right? Okay, verse 3. He comes up, and he says, my undefiled, he's knocking. He's wanting in. Verse 3. And she says, I have put off my coat. How shall I put it on? I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? In other words, I'm already in bed. I've got the door closed for the night. I have my outer garment on. I can't get up and I've washed my feet. I don't want to get them dirty again on the floor. Hesitation. She refuses him for a moment. Hesitation. In a dream, you better hope it's only a dream if it ever happens to you. Okay? He speaks. No, she continues speaking, rather. My beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, which means a latch. Okay? He reached through. And my bowels were moved for him. My heart moved for him. I loved him so. 5. I rose up to open to my beloved, knock, knock, who's there? And my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. Oh, why wasn't he there? She was dreaming. He never was there. She wasn't watching. She opened that door when she never should have. That's why Rose was used in this case, okay? Do you want to know what happens to you when you open the door of your mind to the watchman in the streets of Jerusalem? Well, listen and learn from God's Word. 7. The watchman that went about the city, what city? Jerusalem. Found me. They smote me. They wounded me. The keepers of the walls took away my veil from me. The greatest insult that could be dealt to a woman in public at that time. Why? Because she was dreaming. She didn't watch who was at the door. Knock, knock, who's there? Don't start dreaming or listening to dreamers in this generation especially. It's deadly. It's serious. You stick to the Word of God. You understand the Word of God. And you be careful who you let into the door of your mind. Let me tell you something. Your mind is a precious thing when it's attuned and focused on the Word of God, the truth. Keep it there. I don't care what people might say about you. You keep it on God's Word. You avoid listening to dreamers and a bunch of nonsense and traditions of men that make void the whole Word of God away from the simplicity in which He teaches. She was dreaming. And she charges out into the streets of Jerusalem. Who does she expect to find there? Why did they beat her? I'm not going into that. You should be able to figure that out yourself. Verse 8. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem. Remember, this is the bride of Christ. If that doesn't quite click, we're talking about the bride of Christ, Jesus Christ. That might clarify that a little for you. O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him, she's talking to the women of the street, that I am sick of love. I'm lovesick for him. Don't do any good to dream, friend. You got to face reality. The young women of Jerusalem ask her, what is thy beloved more than another beloved? Why don't you get somebody else? What's he got that anybody else has got? We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ here. O thou fairest among women, what is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? Why can't you just take the false Messiah? Isn't he good enough for you? Well, in this case, absolutely not. She hesitated, even in the dream. Maybe the hesitation would have been good if she had woke up before she opened that door. When she dreamed, there was a knock. And she let herself into the world, and the world beat her. And if you do that with your pure Christianity, you will be beaten also. Hey, some of us can take it. You want to make sure you can, okay, before you get roughed up spiritually, sometimes by a false one, by traditions. They can rough people up pretty good. But brother, holy, holy, holy. Don't you know that we're supposed to stick by the rules and the regulations? No, we're supposed to, of men, no, God's, okay? God's regulations. The female says, when they said, why don't you just get you somebody else? Now compare this statement to someone asking us, why don't we get us another Savior? Okay, you got it? That's how serious this is. It's like saying, why don't you find you another Jesus? She says, my beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. I mean, he's pure. He's with God. His head is as the most fine gold. His locks are bushy and black as a raven. He's pure-hearted. His eyes are as the eyes of the doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly fed. You couldn't ask for any more. Doesn't that kind of sound like we had Christ described to us this morning? Nothing left desired for beauty. His cheeks are as a bed of spices, as sweet flowers. His lips like lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. Picture this for a true translation. I hope I'm not going to digress your minds. Is that you're at a river where the doves are drinking, and the walls or towers, the banks of the river, are just infested with flowers, and the perfect perfume from those just overpower the spot at which we're standing. That's what she's saying. Verse 14. His hands are as gold rings set with the beryl. That's his fingers outstretched. He's reaching out for me, is what she's saying here. His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. His legs, verse 15, are as pillars of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. In other words, there's nothing purer than the smell of cedar of Lebanon. If you make a closet out of it, and insects won't bother what you put in it. 16. His mouth is most sweet. Now, his mouth has already been described, and in the Greek, this has to do with from the lips to the thoracic to the voice box. So it means his words. So let's translate it that way. His word is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved. And this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. I don't want another. I only want the real thing. I want Jesus Christ. Dreamers, dreamers, dreamers. Be careful, my friend. Poor Rose went to sleep. And she acted on what she had dreamed. And it got her in a lot of trouble. But she stayed the course. She would not accept a substitute. She kept away from the streets of Jerusalem and stuck to the true Messiah. Knock, knock. Who's there? That's very important, beloved, that you know. Go with me to the great book of Revelation in closing. We're going to close this out. But I promised you I would document to you how you could tell the difference as to whether you opened the door of your mind or not. Chapter 3, the great book of Revelation. You know that this is Christ's words. And this is where Christ was teaching the churches. And he is summing that up here in chapter 3. Let's pick it up in verse 19 of chapter 3. What does Christ say? As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. If you think for one minute Christ won't punish you, you're mistaken. That documents his love for you. When one of your children are getting in trouble, about to hurt themselves, aren't you going to correct them? Of course you are. So is he. And some people can't recognize the hand of God upon them. He will correct you. And really, if you give it enough deep thought, you know what it is he's correcting you for. Uh-huh. Okay? You can figure it out. Verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, I don't know, can you hear it? Can you hear his words? And open the door, I will come in to him. Not maybe, not perhaps. If you will knock, I will come into him. Open your mind to him. Open the buds of your mind to his word, to his voice. And will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his house. He that hath ears, hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. That's a promise. He will let you in now, and he will open the doors of your mind to seek deeper truths so that you know who to open that door for, so that you know when to close it, so that you know how to overpower evil spirits even if they should come to your door. You see, Christ does things sometimes in a very tender way. You see, in the same chapter, he tells us how to tell the difference. He does, so that you can't be deceived. And in closing, you're all very familiar with it. This same chapter 3, verse 7. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia, brotherly love, write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, underline it in your mind, he that has what? He that has the key of David, he that openeth, knock, knock, who's there? He that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. So, if you have the key to David, you know, knock, knock, who's there. You know about the Kenites. You know about Satan's nest in this world. You know what's going on. You have that key of David that opens doors whether they like it or not and closes them, and they have nothing to say about it because you have that authority from the Lord Jesus Christ. Read on, verse 8. I know thy works. He says, I know what you're doing. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. I mean, you can see who's out there knocking. I've set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Not for the false Christ or anyone else. Not traditions of men. Not people playing church. But see, you know who's on the other side of that door before it's even opened. Or you can close it if you want it out. If you don't want it in your house, hey, take that key of David, which is what? The knowledge that Christ has given you the strength to say, Satan, out of my house now! And in the name of Jesus Christ, he's gone. He's running. Why? He's afraid of you. You don't have to take that off anyone. No spirit. Because you have the power and the authority and the key that opens. Knock, knock, who's there? But let me tell you something. If you're the right kind of Christian soldier, I don't care if it's Satan or some of his best lieutenants, when they knock and you open, they are going to run like 60. They want no part of you because they know you're a buzzsaw going for demons and looking for something to do. Salty and ready to start a fire. Okay? Nobody's taking this literal, okay? I don't want to turn you all into a bunch of arsonists. Different kind of fire. You see, beloved, you don't have to worry. You have the power and you have the authority to know what to let in and what to let out and what to kick out and to beat out and to make a difference in your own life and those around you by using the power and the authority that he puts into your hand by knowing what? Verse 9. I hope they kill that fly. Y'all can't see him, can you? He sure loves me because I'm perspiring here, and I use some of my magic lotion. It's supposed to draw women, not flies. I'm teasing. I am really teasing, all right? Way past that time. Verse 9, back to the subject, okay? Verse 9, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan. Who? I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, which say they are our brother Judah, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Knock, knock, who's there? The Lord Jesus Christ. He wants in your mind. He wants you to learn truth. He wants to give you power. He wants to give you authority to be able to overcome. Because why? Verse 10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. Not a bunch of nonsense, not people playing church. You've kept my word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. In other words, you don't find Satan tempting, do you? You don't think there's anything desirable about him, do you? That's because God has a seal on you. And you have that key of David that identifies and points out and lets you know when to open and when to close and to take charge of whatever is there. You don't have to worry about it. Behold, I come quickly, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh, this is your reward, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. Think about that. Do you know what a pillar does? It holds up. Holds up the temple of God. What a priceless thing. And he shall go out no more. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is in New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. Now, for a little home study for you, if you want to take this a little bit deeper, go back to Revelation chapter 2, verse 17, where he says, if you have a gift, partake of the manna, the hidden manna. You know what manna is? It's God's word. And he said, I'll give you a new stone. And that is a white stone that is contrary to counting the mark of the beast, meaning you know him. And you have power and authority over him. What a simple lesson from Rose, from the Rose of Sharon, and from the Rose that Christ drew attention to way back in the book of Acts, to draw your attention back to dreamers. We do not live in a time whereby we can afford to listen to dreamers seriously. I mean, everybody needs a good laugh every once in a while, right? That's fine if you can handle it that way. But it's time to stay in his word. And it is time for us to take that word seriously, though we shouldn't have to be reminded. To remind ourselves of the power and the authority that we possess in his name. And to use it. You know, when you are ready, if you have a relative that's acting up, what are you going to do? Well, I just wish I could do something. Well, sit down and say, Lord, listen to me. I've got a brother or a sister over here that is just nuttier than a fruitcake. Okay, by listening to traditions, not health-wise, just all messed up. Do something with them for me. I ask it in Jesus' name, using the authority of intercession that you have given me. Do it now for me, please, in his name. Do something about it. Act on it. Well, if I only believed. Well, I'm sorry. If you're not a believer, you're in the wrong crowd here. Act on it. And let his will be done. You know, like I said, I didn't want to teach this message today. To me, it was too basic. And yet, at the same time, it was deep. But most important is what God wanted us to have today. And I thank him for the privilege and the opportunity of delivering it to you. Ezra and